Welcome again to the Christian Service Center for another insightful teaching of God's Word. Blessings.
Good morning, everyone. Hallelujah. This truly is a time for us to remember to give thanks, isn't it? We are to be a thankful people and a gracious people to our God. Praise you, Jesus, glorious Lord. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We thank you, Father. I do thank you as I continue to look to you, Lord God, and have our focus on you. I believe it's in Psalm 107, Lord. There's a passage in there. It talks about wit's end. It talks about reeling to and fro at times and speaking about being unsteady at times. As we're journeying through this life, as sometimes we teeter, sometimes we get off balance. Sometimes we even fall. Sometimes as we're journeying, Lord, we find ourselves coming to a place, Lord, or I should say the end of ourselves. But I'm so thankful, Lord, that when we come to the end of ourselves, we find a new revelation of you. We find that we're able to let go, Lord God, and you cradle us. The everlasting arms are there, Lord God, to catch us. And those are your arms. And so I thank you, Father, for each person here this morning. If they haven't experienced the care of your everlasting arms and being upgirded by you, Lord, when they find themselves in life as a teeter, maybe even fall, or at wit's end, you tell us in that same psalm, Lord God, that there's a word that you sent. And that word is Jesus. And you sent us a word, Lord God. And there's a healing word that comes from you, Jesus. And it says that that healing word, Lord God, that you sends will heal us and help us and come to our aid, even when we find ourselves sometimes at a free fall, Lord. But we know, Lord, that there's always a landing in your care. So we praise you and we glorify you. And I thank you, Lord God, that this morning you would help me communicate. Share, Lord God, with a heart full of thanksgiving, a heart full of worship this morning, Lord, of your great care, of your surpassing greatness, and your unfailing love, and your mercy, Lord God, and your compassion that are new every morning and even, Lord God, in the newness of what we face. So I thank you and I praise you and I bless you right now as God and as Father to all of us in Jesus' name. Amen. As I got up this morning and I went to seek the Lord in a place of, Lord, you got to show up. I need you. That I came to Psalm 125 as I was kneeling and praying. And I'll just read to you the first couple of verses here. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. And this was my part of my prayer this morning and how I came to this psalm because I wanted, there was something of the Lord that I needed to be seen of his ways and of his paths. And it says right here, show me, reveal to me, make known to me your paths, your ways. And O Lord, teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. And so, you know, even if I was just to stop here at this juncture here and to realize that Jesus has triumphed over all of our enemies, he's won the victory for us all. And we know that he's done this, even though that we have not yet secured it personally in a given area within our lives. It is ours. It belongs to us. It has been secured for us, and he wants to bring us into the reality of it. So we must have the same prayer here that David did about asking God to show us his way. Show me your way. Show me how you want me to journey on. Way means the direction of one's life, the way in which that we are to travel. There's our way which we travel, the choices and decisions we make. But he's saying here, show me, reveal to me your path that you want me to journey on with you, Lord. Show me how to walk through this. You did it already, Jesus. You've already overcome the world. You've already secured the right for me to be released from sin and the effects of sin, the condemnation of sin, the guilt of sin, the pain of sin. You have secured the right for me to experience this. So show me how to journey on this path. Show me how to walk this way. Show me, Lord God, and teach me about your ways, how you do things, and how you want me to respond to these things. See, it's a cry that David has here. And do we have that same type of cry, that same type of desire in the things that we face in life? I had a different subject today I was going to share with you concerning faith or concerning scriptures that will build our faith. And how many of you know that our faith needs to be fed? That our faith needs to develop and our faith needs to grow. And I have these bulk scriptures that I have. Actually, I have them right here in the front of my Bible for me to go to at any time. It's just entitled here. I've had this here for many years. Matter of fact, I even wrote a date on it. 5/4/13 is when I taped this in the front of my Bible. And there are times I just go back. How many of you know there's passages? It's real important for you to go back over to feed your faith, to develop your faith, to grow your faith. And I find myself going back over these, especially in the time when I sense that my faith isn't where it ought to be, or there's something going on that is actually trying to counter our faith in God, trying to get us to a place of unbelief, which I mean an unbelief toward God. And it tells us in Hebrews 3, when that occurs, it develops a departure from the living God. And I think that's just so neat how he says that in there, a departure from the living God in replace of a God that's not alive. He's still God, but just right now, the vibrancy, the life of God, the power of God, the salvation which Jesus Christ has secured for us, or his presence isn't as real as it ought to be. So there's an unbelief toward the very presence of God and the now working of God within our life in replace of maybe something less that we put up with. And he doesn't want us to put up with less. He wants us to continue to strive for all that he is and all that he has. And so, you know, we're coming up to Thursday here. And as we have been having this time of prayer over these past number of weeks, and as there was prayer at lot number one in Plymouth, Massachusetts, where the pilgrims landed, only half of their company arrived there because half died on the journey. And then during that first winter month, another half of the company dies. So there's only a fourth of the people that originally had started out, made it through the journey and the first year, the first winter. But when they had their time of thanksgiving, and they had their time of adoration, first when they arrived here, even though half of the number was lost during the journey, when they came upon the shore, they gave thanks. They worshiped God. There was a great loss, but they also knew that there was a great freedom that they were going to experience, a great release. And at times, there is loss in the seeking of freedom. At times, are we willing to lay down our lives for the life of someone else that they may experience the freedom that we are enjoying in the Lord Jesus Christ? And so they got down there and they bowed their knees. I have this picture on my computer of them bowing their knees as they came off the ship and on that seashore, giving God thanks. Now, not being told how to worship, but to worship the Lord freely, as revealed in his word, without restriction, without hindrance, without told that this is the form, this is the ritual, this is how you do it. But just to have open verbal expressions of praise and adoration to God. And we should today have a free, open worship and adoration to the Lord, even right now, even when we find ourselves at a difficult place. Early this morning, 3-something, as I was kneeling and praying before the Lord and reading over Psalm 25 and asking the Lord to show me, to teach me, to lead me into the reality, into an experienced reality of the salvation that Jesus Christ had secured, or the portion of that salvation that I needed to secure at that moment. How many of you know that Jesus has done so much for all of us? There isn't anything that Jesus hasn't secured on our behalf for us to experience the entirety of his redemption. And that even though that we may not be tasting of some aspect of his salvation, we can go to him and say, I need a drink. Jesus, you did this. This is what your promise says. And therefore, I come before you on your merit, on what you have done, not on my ability, not on my strength. As a matter of fact, my strength is gone. I don't have an ability right now. The only ability that I have at that present moment is to cry out to you, is to call upon you. And I'm asking you, as I was going through, show me, Lord God. Teach me, Lord God. Lead me into a truth that you have for me at this moment. Lead me into a present revelation of yourself. And as I began this journey a week or so ago about walking with the presence of God that we will be looking at through probably the rest of this year in preparation for 2021. Because without having this understanding that we walk with God, that we journey with him, as Jesus said in the very last verse of Matthew chapter 28, after he resurrected from the dead and told them that he has authority, all authority in heaven and on earth, and he gives them the commission to go and make disciples of all nations. And in verse 20, teaching them, he says, you know, those that come to know me and are baptized, that you have a responsibility to teach them, to communicate the truths that I have communicated with you. And as Jesus went on to say in John 16, there's so much more that I have to say to you, but you can't bear them now. So even after his resurrection, he even gave them more insight, more revelation, more teaching that he wanted these apostles to reveal and speak into new disciples, into those who had come into the kingdom. But he ends it with this in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, and lo, I am with you always. And one translation says to the end of the age or to the end of the world. And more properly is to the end of the age. Jesus began the church age with paying for the sacrifice, by his sacrifice, paying for the price of sin. And there's going to come a culmination of his sacrifice. There's going to come a culmination of those who we refer to as us, Christians or the body of Christ or the church of Jesus Christ, that he's going to draw unto himself. And we know through the teachings of the Apostle Paul from 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that there's a trumpet that's going to sound and the dead in Christ will rise first. And if we happen to be here, in the name of Jesus, that this room will be vacated when that trumpet sounds. And if there isn't if there's a person in here today that you're unsure of your salvation, then deal with it right now. Just cry out to Jesus right now. Because when that trumpet sounds, it says it's going to be in a twinkling of an eye. You're not going to have second chance. It's done. Okay, so we want to be there. Boop! I mean, I think soon as that sound comes up, we're gone. And we're in his presence when it finishes blowing. Glory to God. And we should like, oh, thank you, Jesus. And he says, lo, I am with you always. Do you carry with you, do you have with you an assurance of his presence? Even right now, even in tough times. Even like I said over here in Psalm 107, let me just read that. Let me see if I can find that real quick. Psalm 107, verse 27. And they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Have we ever felt like that? Have you ever been at your wits' end? And then it goes on to say in verse 28, then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble. And he brings them out of their distresses. We can stop right there. At wit's end, cry out to the Lord in the wit's end trouble. and he brings them out of their distresses. That is a promise that for someone today, you need to grab hold of. Or maybe in the future, you've come to the end of yourself. Remember the old poster in the 70s, 80s? The cat hanging there? You got this cat just hanging there. And the Lord's just saying, let go. Let go and let me. And so when we're at our wits' end, when we cry out to the Lord, when we call to him, we are letting go and expecting God to come and set us free of what we're facing. It says that he'll calm the storm so that the waves are still. Some Bibles, like mine, even has a cross reference to when Jesus does this in Matthew chapter 8 and in other places. And then it says, then they are glad because they are quiet. He guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that people would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 32, let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people. We should be exalting him right now. We're gathered together. And when we hear truth like this, when we hear what God's word has to say, and even gives us the instruction of what we're supposed to do as believers by faith, and to trust that as David prayed this, or as David wrote this, that we also can have an expectation, we can grab this as a promise for ourselves, and let's begin even at this present moment to give him thanks for his goodness, because we know that his word does not return to him void, but it shall prosper in the thing whereunto he has sent it, and it will not return to him useless, void, or unaccomplished. It will be fulfilled. So we have to have this understanding right now that you are not alone, that you carry with you the very presence of God, and he dwells within you. So at a time when you feel that you're alone, or at a time when you feel that there's a need, or when things aren't going as they should be, there is a... Well, Jesus even said it in Luke, what's it, John 7, that out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. He's not just not speaking as a time of ministry from you to somebody else, but there is a flow, so much of a flow, that God can languish, lavish upon you with such certainty that you'll just be flooded by the flow that he's revealing, even though the present circumstance hasn't changed. And that's what I was learning so much when I was going over through some of the patriarchs. I was going over what the Lord told Abram and Sarah and the different passages, even of what the Lord told David and what the Lord told Jeremiah. There are certain passages, and I believe it's one in, I think it's Genesis 19, and it just ends, the verse ends like this: is there anything too hard for the Lord? And see, there are certain things that even though the impossible-looking situation that Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90 at the time that the Lord is asking, is there anything too hard for the Lord? God gives us his word and he shows us impossible situations. He shows us that they're old. Sarah's dry. She's barren. There's just, everything had stopped many years ago. The reproductive style process had stopped. And she is just dried up. And God can take an impossible situation of a man 100 and Sarah 90 and cause something to start up again, cause something to come alive again, to take, as I believe it says, it tells us in Romans chapter 4, the deadness of Sarah's womb. Do we not serve a God who resurrects the dead or gives life to the dead? And at times, there are people I've come across over the years as believers. When they're at their wits' end, they'd rather the merry-go-round to stop. They'd rather get off. They'd rather that the Lord come for us. I've been there. Just be honest. I've been there at times. I've had the conversation with the Lord. It wasn't a morbid thing. It was just a conversation that I had with the Lord. And when you hear not yet, it's not yet. Okay, Lord, then what's next? Not yet, what's next? So if you get a not yet, what's next? You know, I'm looking to you right now. I am calling on you in my trouble. I know that you're the one who calms the storms. I know that as the result of calming the storm, there's great gladness within me, and you'll guide me to the desired haven or the direction that my life is to go. Haven represents the port that we're to pull into. Okay, the mooring place. So our life's on a journey, and it's going to continue on that journey. When the storms come, he has a calm for that storm, and he calms the storm, and there's a great glad. Isn't there a gladness when you're in your heart when God answers prayer, when God reveals a truth to you? Oh, thank you, Jesus. And then brings us to our desired destiny that he has for us. We're told over here also concerning his presence in Hebrews chapter 13. In Hebrews 13, the writer of Hebrews makes this statement, starting with verse 5. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Let your life, let your behavior, let your lifestyle be free of selfishness, with not having an overemphasis on yourself. And be content with such things as you have or such things as you possess. Well, number one, right here, can we be content that you are the Lord's possession? You know, when we find out from Scripture, all these things shall be added to you, there should be such great contentment of such things as I have. In other words, how many of you would like to know that there is an unlimited storehouse for you, for anything that you need with inside your life? Matter of fact, I was hearing a guy not too long ago, and some of these things, that it's kind of questionable what people say, and I said, well, that sounds nice. That in heaven that he's got all these storehouses of limbs and kidneys and organs, and that we could just apply to the storehouse and get what we need. Well, my Bible says that there wasn't another body for Lazarus. That body was dead for 4 days in a tomb. Jesus just resurrected what was there. Okay. And it's nice to hear when people say things like that. I mean, you know, that God has a whole supply. But why not just also believe that everything that you need, and if there's something dead there, he can resurrect it. Okay? That there is already a supply that he has. So just imagine a storehouse that God has, and it's already been secured for us in Jesus Christ and already available to us. But he wants to reveal the promise. He wants to reveal his word to us, so that we can hear what he's individually wanting to speak to us and incline our ear to hear, to accept and receive, and to bear the fruit of it as a living reality before its existence. See, faith possesses it before it comes to pass. And to have an understanding that Jesus is our storehouse, and everything that we need is available to us. See, you know where the New Age gets off on this? The New Age says everything that you need is already within you. The resources of the universe are available to you. You are God, and you just have to call on your godliness of yourself, and it will be provided. The law of attraction. Yeah, I've read, you know, all this stuff when I was involved in the occult. Read about all this stuff. Wait a second. The Word of God tells me in Ephesians 2:20 that I'm a habitation of God in the Spirit. We are being built together, a habitation of God in the Spirit. We're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that we are the temple of God. And do you not know that the Spirit of God dwells within you? If there's any resources for us to grab, it's because I'm just a temple and God indwells me, and therefore where God is, there's always his resources. It's not that I have the resource. The one who possesses me, the one who lives within me, I now have access to all that God is. Matter of fact, are we not told in Romans chapter 8 that we're heirs of God? Think of it this way. When you got saved, you inherited God. God has become your father. And what, is there anything lacking with God? There's nothing that lacks with God. And so everything that his word or our new covenant has in Jesus Christ that he wants us to partake of, we find out about it. And as the Spirit of God reveals it to us, the Spirit of truth, or this, the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of reality, or that which he wants to make real to us of God's word, Jesus said he'll bring it to our remembrance, everything that Jesus Christ wants you to know. Everything that he has said that he wants you to know, he can bring to your remembrance. So why don't we trust the Spirit? Did we not sing a song, the last song here today? That the Spirit of God is moving amongst us. That the Spirit of God is here. But also the Spirit of God is within us. And there's things that he's wanting to reveal. There's things that he's wanting to share with us. That we have an access. Did not Jesus tell us in the, what we would refer to as the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? And that every time that God speaks to us or reveals the truth to us or talks with us or brings a promise to pass within our life or answers a prayer or a revelation that is made known that we have not ever known, that just at that moment when that happens, there's heaven is encountering my earth. Heaven is encountering me. There is a union that is taking place of heaven in this earth. And God is wanting a divine connection to happen with you in what you're facing that you can have and partake of heaven while on earth. Partake of what he has in your earth, in your life, in what you're facing. But at times, circumstances that we face, how many of you know that pain is good? It's good. God allowed this, if I was to hit myself hard enough here, for me to experience a sensation indicating, ouch, right? But sometimes things go ouch in us on a very frequent basis because something may be out of place, something isn't right. And the ouch can become ouch, and it can become actually sometimes very stressful and very wearing out. So God created pain for us to realize that there's a situation. But we're also told from Isaiah 53 and in Matthew chapter 8 and 1 Peter 2:24 that there's one who bore our pains and bore our sicknesses and bore our disease. That there's one who identifies with pain. He identifies with pain. He identifies with the torment that we face. He identifies. That's why it tells us in Hebrews chapter 4 he's a sympathetic high priest. He's able to identify with us. But there's something I really believe that God is wanting to do in all of our lives, as in my life and in some of your lives, he's wanting to bring some of these things to a conclusion. He's wanting to bring the heaven to your earth. He's wanting to give us a divine adjustment, a divine touch. I wrote down in one of my notes somewhere, a divine intervention, where... You know, how many of you know that the word supernatural is not a bad word? A lot of people can make it a bad word. Natural just means what's of this realm. Okay? It just means what we see, what we hear, what we taste, what we touch. What's the other one? Smell. You know, it's talking about which is common to the natural realm, the natural surroundings. Super means that which is above the natural, which is over the natural, which is greater or superior to the natural realm. And therefore, the word super or above the natural. God is above the natural. God is the super to our natural. And there's something of his super. Remember a song that we used to sing here years ago from Sam Higgs? He's a big, 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 big God. Remember that? That big, 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 big. And some of us need to get a little bit of a greater picture of the big, 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 big God, because circumstances have taken place for such a long time in some of our lives and we haven't seen a change. It is, he's a big, 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 big God. Yeah, he's big. I really wish I had some of that bigness now. You know, sometimes, you know, we know the truth, and because of circumstances, it takes sometimes a dynamic out of the truth. And there's a revelation, I believe, that God is revealing to a lot of us how he wants to be super in our natural. How he wants to be heaven on our earth. How he wants to connect us with a revelation so that our lives can come in contact with that and receive what Jesus Christ has secured for us. See, now the reason why I'm saying this is because we need to get a picture here. I've mentioned this picture before. Do we believe in the resurrection of the just? And how many people do you think, when that last trumpet blows, is going to go up in a twinkling of an eye? Millions upon millions, maybe billions? Now, you just need to think about this power of God. This ability that God has, that anybody who's declared righteous and the first person that we have listed in the Bible as a righteous person is righteous Abel. Like I said, we don't know anything about Adam and Eve. I'm not saying that they're not there, but we don't know anything about them. But we do have the first person indicated as a righteous individual, Abel, all the way up to the last person that's going to say yes to Jesus. And that's almost 6,000 years of people. And then, whatever the trumpet's going to sound like. And then you've seen some of these rapture movies. You know how they do it. Sometimes it shows a pile of ashes, you know, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. That's why they do it, you know. But we know, I was like, no, that's wrong. Because this ash gets a resurrected body. So that ash pile is not going to be there. And then another movie shows that these little lights come up. You see these little lights come up. Well, I don't know about that. Then another one just shows a pile of clothes, which I was like, well, okay, maybe just a pile of clothes there. But what I'm saying is millions upon billions, possibly billions of people simultaneously resurrecting at one time. If you'd stop for a moment and get a picture of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, and to realize that is going to simultaneously, now it says in a twinkling of an eye, just think of the power that God has that's going to be unleashed and released as fast as you can blink your eye. Boom, boom. Here in the presence of Jesus forever. Now, we don't have a problem believing that because we know it's going to take place. But will we take some time to think on it and to believe God for something that may need to be fixed here or here or here or here or here or here? That it's a simultaneous event. That doesn't matter how the person, no, it does matter how the person lived. Whatever the circumstance of their death, like you've heard me say before, if there's only shark poop left, that's enough for God to work with. Okay? In other words, if they were eaten by whatever. And if there's, just like I said, if someone made saliva and spit, with inside that spit is a complete DNA of that human being. Somewhere on this planet is a complete structure of that person. It may be dried up somewhere, but it's here. And God has the blueprint of us all. Now that's going to happen. I believe that God is trying to give us pictures, whether he's using a 100-year-old Abram and a 90-year-old Sarai to say, look, what I did in them, especially in her, jump-starting her whole reproductive process. And I believe it tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 that she even received strength to conceive. Okay, Abraham, let's go. And also, she had to have strength even to give birth at that age. And so, an impossible-looking situation, God shows us all these impossible-looking situations and to reveal to us that he's the God of the impossible. So that we can look at Sarah and we can look at the resurrection of the just and realize that God is still the God of the impossible, still the God of miracles and wanting to do a miracle within our lives. And there's something he's trying to feed our faith with right now. Feed my faith. My faith is being fed. I got up into my office this morning, just laid over that bench, and just started crying out to God. And I said, Lord, I need you. I need you to show me. I need you to teach me. I need you to lead me at this present moment, Lord. Because I know you do that, Lord. When I can't, you can. When I'm unable, you have the ability. When I am weak, you are strong. When I find myself weak, there's something you can infuse within me, Lord God, supernaturally. And this is what God does. If we will choose to take him at his word and go before him and allow his presence, allow his person, and allow his power to minister and to manifest. We have to start spending this time with him. And some of you may think, well, you know, when we're facing something, it's very difficult to get quiet with God. I know it is. I've been there. I know it's difficult, but I know it can be done because I do it. I do it. I'm standing up here right now today because God gives me an ability to do it. There's a grace that flows, an ability of God that sustains me and helps me. And so, and we have to also have this knowing that I'm not alone. You're not alone and I'm not alone. God lives here. God lives among us and God lives within us. And he's wanting to call or believe more on the presence of himself within our lives and corporately among us. Hebrews 13, it goes on here to say, let your conduct be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, now he's going back and quoting from Deuteronomy, he's going back from quoting from Joshua. And I believe this is more from Joshua chapter 1, where I've recently read this. And as the promise was given to Joshua that Moses, my servant, is dead, and he says, the same way I was with Moses, I will be with you. And he makes this statement in Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, God speaking this to Joshua, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The writer of Hebrews is bringing it into the new covenant so that we can go ahead and grab hold of this promise that I will never leave you nor forsake you. That as a child of God, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, and you as a believer in Jesus Christ, that he is with us. And Jesus told us in John 14, he says, I will not leave you orphans. I myself will come to you. In the verse above that, he talks about the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. In the verses after that, he talks about the Holy Spirit. And that Jesus said, yes, I'm going to be there right there with you. When the Holy Spirit is with us, we know Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father. But he made a promise. He says that there's a promise of the Father I'm going to bestow upon you. And this promise of the Father we've come to know as the Holy Spirit, or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the very presence of God that inhabits our lives. Jesus' blood caused me to become a sanctified or cleansed temple, ready for me to be inhabited by the Holy Spirit, to come with inside. Jesus told his disciples, the Holy Spirit that is with you shall be in you. And all of us that are saved and baptized with the Holy Spirit, you should know and realize that the very presence of God is right there with you to help, to comfort, to assist, to instruct, to reveal, to share God's promise specifically for you in the matter that you're facing and give you the wisdom or direction of the choice that you need to make. Because how many of you know God knows where your faith is today? God knows where you're at. Now, like I said earlier, does it need to be fed? Does it need to be developed? Does it need to grow? But he knows where you're at. He knows what you need to be fed. He knows the area that needs to be developed, and he knows it needs to grow. So he'll meet you where you're at right now. But he also wants to bring you where you need to be. He's meeting me where I'm at. But he's feeding me, and he's nourishing me, and he's developing me to show me where he has me yet to go and possess. The promised land isn't heaven, folks. When the children of Israel crossed over the River Jordan, there were, guess what were there? All these inhabitants of the land were there. How many of you know the devil doesn't want you to inhabit the promises of God? And sometimes our doubt and our unbelief or our reasoning or sometimes there's counter thoughts. Sometimes it's really not even the devil or demons. That these Hittites and Canaanites and Jebusites and all the ites that you see in there can also be strongholds of thinking with inside you that need to be dispossessed, that need to come down and the Word of God built in its place. Sometimes it's not a devil at all. It's what we may have been taught of the world. It may have been the influence of darkness that has come into our thinking, come into our reasoning, come into the way that we process information or how we live life or how we view life. That God wants that stronghold that's not his hold on you to be demolished and have his truth be built up in its place. so that you can receive, believe, and experience the promise that he has for you. Yes, I know it's a promised place that we're going to go to and be with the Lord forever. But if you really think about it, probably for a lot of us. I mean, you know, think of righteous Abel, how much he's been able to enjoy, actually, up until the time of when Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, and the scripture says he led captivity captive, all those that were in paradise, Abraham and all those that were there, wherever this place is at, this place of paradise that is now vacated, it's empty now, we were all brought to the presence of the Lord. So since the resurrection of Jesus, every person that dies, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, spirit and soul, no body yet. Okay, the body's promised to come. And so everyone, so we could say for 2,000 years now, they've been able to enjoy the very immediate presence of God. Isn't that wonderful to know that? And some of us, when the rapture occurs, we may only have a three, depending on your theology, maybe 3.5 to 7 year time there before we come back to be with Jesus here on the earth for 1,000 years. Okay? So heaven will be our home for a short time. And then we're going to have 1,000-year millennial reign here with Jesus on the earth. And then in Revelation 21, heaven comes on earth. Okay, the new heavens and the new earth come. So some people have been enjoying it for almost 2,000 years. Those of us that are past near that 2,000-year point, we won't be able to experience it all that long. But I tell you what, one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So however much time we have there, it will be enough. Amen? Till we come back here on the earth. And some of you might be saying, whoa, where's that coming from? Read Revelation 20 and Revelation 21. Okay? Just to get a little taste of us ruling and reigning with Jesus for 1,000 years here. Well, speaking of that, does he not rule and reign within our lives even right now? Should he not be speaking to us by the Spirit of God right now? Should he not be communicating to us in our time of deepest need? Is Jesus not there in our boat with us? I had a communication with a person recently, and the person was reading that passage, you know, especially when the storm went through the area, you know, about when Jesus told them to go the other side and he went across with them. It's either Mark's gospel or Luke's gospel where it says that he brought a pillow and he was asleep on a pillow. And I have very vivid imagination, and I just kind of wrote back to the person, was that the first water pillow? I mean, how did all that water come inside that boat and not get wet, and he's still asleep? Was that the first water bed? And she's like, ah. But nonetheless, that even in the storm, the one who's able to calm the storm is at peace with inside the boat. And so no matter what's befalling your life, what your life will go through, what you might find yourself in right now, the one who's at peace, the Prince of Peace, dwells within you and can bring his peace into the storm that you're facing and get you to your safe harbor or to the other side or where he has for you to go. See, these are things that, you know, I've been looking at and just trusting God in. I'm hoping that wherever you gather this week, that we just don't have a day of Thanksgiving, but we should be living a life of Thanksgiving. Yes, yes, occupy that day. Yes, have some turkey. Meet safely with family and friends the best way you possibly can. But remember, it's to be focused on him and centered on him. Because we have the freedom to worship. We have the freedom to talk with him and communicate with him. That because of the blood that was spilled on a cross almost 2,000 years ago, that these people that wanted freedom got freedom. Are we thankful for our freedom in Jesus Christ? Are you thankful today? Psalm 23, the Lord is. Do you believe that the Lord is right now, that he is? Right here, you know, in Hebrews 13, the Lord is. It says right here, that last part here, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And as the result of this, and understanding that the Lord is, and then the rest of it is my shepherd. He's got the charge over my life, the care over my life, Do I really trust His care? Do I really trust His supply? Do I really trust His leading and guiding? Do I really trust Him to bring me to the pasture that I need to be brought to, even though that it's going to lead me through to get from one pasture to the next? They had to trust the voice of the shepherd when they went through the valley called the Valley of the Shadow of Death, indicating from one open place to another open place. The shepherd knew the journey that they were to take, even though that it was going to be a dark journey. Even though that they were, it was not going to be a, maybe at times the sheep couldn't see one foot in front of where it was going, but they heard the voice of their shepherd, and they understood that if the shepherd was leading them, they would get through this time of darkness. They would get through this time of unknowing. They would get through this time of fear and get to a pasture that He has for them. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What does He say? I'll forget you. I will fear no evil. Because you are what? With me. With me. And there's that understanding that we have to have. That He's with us. Even when you don't see. Even when you don't understand. Even when you don't have it all together. All He says is listen and follow. Listen and follow. And if we'll just listen and follow, no matter what we may be sensing or wait, no matter what we may be feeling at that moment, it will break forth into light. It will break forth into a pasture. It will break forth into the water that He has for us if we will continue to journey with Him, even in your I don't understand. Even I don't see. I just don't see what's going on here. I don't quite understand this. Is He the God of your I don't understand? Is He the God of your unknowingness? Is He the God of your darkness when you find yourself in darkness to bring you to that place of His marvelous light, of His marvelous truth? When we find ourselves in this place, as it says here in Hebrews 13, verse 5, the last part, I will never leave you nor forsake you, then there should be a natural result from verse 6 that should transpire within our life that we may boldly say, that we may confidently confess out loud and declare, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Now, as we know, this is a quote. There's two quotes here from Joshua 1:5, combining it with Psalm 27 or Psalm 118, combining the two together about God not leaving us nor forsaking us so that we can have a bold confession about God working within our life. And then the writer here of Hebrews, when he drops down here to verse 8, he just lets us know that what was true for Joshua is true for us also. That Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when we start seeing these revelations that are brought into the New Covenant, an Old Testament quote brought into the New Covenant for us to grab hold of, he's letting us know we can grab hold of the same truth that Joshua grabbed hold of. We can grab hold of the same promise from Psalm 23 and Psalm 118, that we can have a confidence in the Lord that what we're facing, that He's there, He's got an answer, and He will see us through. There is something that He wants to reveal to you. There is something He wants you to grab hold of. But He wants you to have a confidence in that saying, a thankfulness in that saying, a proclamation in that saying, whether you're just coming into it, whether you're in the thick of it, or whether you're on the other side of it, for you to be learn to be a thankful people, a boldly professing people, that what the God of yesterday, the Jesus of yesterday, is the Jesus of now, and He'll always be that same Jesus. He doesn't change. Are you going to look to Him? Are you going to grab to Him? Are you going to reach out and say, you know, Lord God, I choose to believe You. I choose to thank You even right now. Remember the wise men that came to Jesus? Some say it was three, some say it was more. But the reason why they say it was three, because of the three gifts that were offered in Matthew chapter 2. And the wise men, when they came from the east and they saw the star, the word of God tells us that they rejoiced with great joy when they saw the star. As wise people, as people of understanding, as people who have come into the knowledge of the Lord, that we have an open heaven available to us, are you able to rejoice at a revelation? Star referring to that which is shining in the night. You haven't come to the realization of that star because it says that star moved and set and they were able to come to the house where Jesus was. But they were able to rejoice at the sign of what that star represented. Are you today, am I able today to rejoice ahead of time at the revelation before coming into the presence of the revelation? And see, there's something that the Lord is wanting for us to live by faith in, that He wants us to rejoice at a revelation of His promise. Now, it may take a moment for you to search, to research, for you to find out your star in the night, for what He has for you to grab hold of, so that you can grab hold of it and follow that journey till it brings you to His immediate presence, for you to experience what God has for you, for Him to make it known, and for you to come into its personal reality of it. We are told of three gifts that these wise men gave for Jesus. The first one is what? Gold. Gold. And we know that gold represents divinity or divine life. All of us here that have believed on Jesus, we have gone from darkness into light. We've been given the gift of eternal life. I believe it's in 2 Peter chapter 1 where he talks about that we have received of the divine nature. And we are partakers of the exceeding great and precious promises that God has for us. And so we are the wise ones of the Lord that have been given revelation from God so that we can secure and know what God has for our life. And we now have a divine life given to us because of Jesus Christ. And as the result of this divine life, do we not also experience what God has for us? Isn't frankincense a nice fragrance? When we're here in worship, as we were earlier, do you not sense the Lord's presence? Do you not know that the Lord is good? Do you not know that you are precious also in His sight? Do you not taste and walk in the fragrance of Jesus Christ and become the fragrance of Christ in every place? And so we know that this divine life causes us to enter in and to come into God's own presence, as we're told. We are allowed into the Holy of Holies. We are allowed to have an anytime access with God. And oh, how sweet that is. But we also live here on earth. And myrrh represents suffering, or it represents bitterness, or it represents things we'd rather not experience. But let me just let you know here today that Jesus has tasted of your myrrh. Jesus has tasted of your suffering and of your sorrow. He's tasted of the bitterness of sin and the judgment of sin and the condemnation of sin that He bore on your behalf, so that He can identify with you that when you face suffering, when you face trial, when you face pain, when you face life's bitterness, that we have a scripture in Hebrews chapter 2 that Jesus tasted death for all of us. He knows what that tastes like. He knows what you're going through. He knows what it tastes like. And He has an answer for you. So that we realize, yes, I would just like to live in the divine life and the fragrance of Jesus Christ and enjoying God's presence all the time. And I can, and let me say this, I can, even in a myrrh experience. Even in a time of when I find myself going through a distillation process or a squeezing process or a suffering time, that His divine life and His preciousness and His promises are all still so real, even in a time that I'd rather not be in. Amen. But He's still there. He's still there. And when they came into the presence of Jesus, it says that they worshiped. Are you able to worship today from where you're at? Are you able to give thanks from where you're at today? Are you able to acknowledge Him in your divine life at times, in the precious times, in the fragrant times, in the beautiful times, in the peaceful times? But are we also able to worship in the myrrh times, in the difficult times, in the troubled times, knowing that I still have His divine life, I still have His promises, I still have His presence with me, and Jesus has tasted it all on my behalf and has an answer for my myrrh times. He is my oil of healing. He is my very present help in time of trouble. He is my strength. He is my fortress. He is my rock. He is my salvation. He is my all in all. The name, it says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. It talks about something that is so great and so huge that it's not even able to be knocked down. But it says the righteous run into it and are safe. Indicating that there are times in our life that we're experiencing something that we need to draw near. For it to say the righteous run into it, indicating to us that there's something that we're going through and we haven't brought the Lord's presence into it. We haven't gone before Him in it. The righteous run into it and are safe. Indicating to us that there is a journey we need to go on to get where He's at, even though that He's right here with us. But how many of you have ever been in a very difficult time and you didn't consult the Lord right away, but when you did, there was relief. There was an answer. I don't have an immediate relief at times, but I know that there's an answer. And as I go to Him, I speak to Him, I'm moving into that strong place and I'm obtaining help in my time of need. And I want all of us to remember. I want all of us just to think about this from now till Thanksgiving Day. And we can even start right now. We've already started today. That we do walk with the presence of God, but we need to begin to acknowledge more of His presence. We need to acknowledge more of His abiding with inside of our lives. We need to acknowledge more. Psalm 118 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good," verse 1, "because His mercy endures forever. His kindness endures forever. His compassion endures forever. Let Israel now say," not just the children of Israel, but we are also told that we are now part of Israel because we have come into the new covenant. We are Gentiles that have come into the covenant that God first established with the Jewish people, and we are now partakers of that covenant in Jesus Christ, and that we are now part of Israel. So it says, "Let Israel now say, His mercy endures forever. His kindness, His grace endures forever." And if it endures forever, that means I have access to His grace even right now. I have access. In verse 5, "I called on the Lord in distress. While I found myself confined, restricted, even in pain deep within, I called on the Lord in distress. And the Lord answered me and set me in a broad place." This broad place means a freedom from the distress. An open place means a confinement, whatever was causing the confinement or the pain or the distress, that when I called on the Lord, He brought me out of that into a place where the confinement or the relief of it is now there. Now, if that is true for the old covenant, how much more does God want to make it true in the new covenant? For us, for our faith to be revitalized in these areas, to know that God still does this. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember Hebrews 13, verse 6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Verse 10, all nations surround me. How many at times that we feel like that it just, even right now, I've seen so much mockery on the news lately about believers, about Christians. All the nations surround me, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They surrounded me like bees. Doesn't it feel sometimes? Do you ever have thoughts going in on sight that are just trying to? I'll just give you an example, a bee example. Yesterday, I'm outside. Scott gave me, I don't know what these pepper plants that you gave me, but for some reason the bees like going by them. Scott gave me some pepper plants, and I've got 5 or 6 of them out there right now. And it just seems when I'm getting ready to go upstairs, there's all these bees around. It's like there's no flowers. It's not pollinating. Why are these bees around these pepper plants that Scott gave me? But then all of a sudden, they're right there. I'll tell you just from an experience. It doesn't matter what you're thinking about what you're wanting to do. The bees have my attention. And how many of you know that? I mean, this guy, when he's writing here, he knows what he's talking about. You can have such godly intentions. You can have such the way you're trusting and believing God for something. Then all of a sudden something begins surrounding you, coming into your immediate presence that gets you away off your immediate God thought to the immediate be thought. And I was like, now if I swat one, I said, they might take it in a wrong way and they all start coming at me. So what I'm going to do then is I'm just going to continue walking up the stairs and ignoring these bees and going on what I know I need to do. And so I ignored the bees that were swirling around my head and continued on in my journey, and they were left behind. Okay? We can do that too. That is how I destroyed them, by keeping focused. I didn't kill them. I didn't give them any credence. I didn't allow a fear to come upon me, to immobilize me, to get me so focused on the bees that it got me away from what I needed to do. I just continued on what I needed to do, and they were destroyed, or what put away from me. Okay? And so at times when the thoughts come in that seem to be overwhelming, or the situation you feel need is overwhelming, and it's just speaking and maybe stinging, and you have a truth that God, a supernatural truth, a revelation that God can give you that's above the bees, that's above the present thing that seems to be swirling in your thinking, that He has something else He wants you to gravitate toward, grab hold of, and journey in, and walk in, and therefore defeat them and destroy them. For in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them, or cut them off, put them aside, having no effect upon my life, because the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. What are we supposed to have? The voice of rejoicing and salvation shall be in the tents of the righteous. Your body is a tent. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul, when he's writing this, he says that when we put off this tent, how many of you know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord? You read the verses of before that, he's talking about our bodies being a tent. So let me just ask you this. Inside your tent right now, inside your life, is there a voice of rejoicing and salvation? Is there a voice of thanksgiving? Regardless of how your tent may be feeling, regardless of the repair that your tent or your life may need, but within your spirit, are you rejoicing? Are you giving thanks? Are you holding to His word? And just going to trust Him to mend your tent, to take care of your life, to make right any wrong with inside of it? Are you from that place going to join in with Him? Are you going to go with Him in that place and say, you know, Lord God, this body here and this life that I have, you know how much longer I'm going to be journeying here on this planet. And I need you to mend my tent. I need you to bring to pass what your word said that you'd bring to pass. So my thought and my focus and my praise and my worship are going to be upon you, Lord God. And upon you do I worship. As we just saw here, a few passages that talked about being surrounded by the things of this world. Being surrounded by bees. How about we just end today with surrounding ourselves in the Lord? Now, I played this song a couple weeks for you. And what I did was I merged two songs together. 5 minutes of one and 5 minutes of another. And I think this would be a good place for us today to end and to realize that we're surrounded by Him. And the first song lets us know about this is how we fight our battles in the sacrifice of Jesus. In other words, what His body and what His blood has secured on our behalf. So it gives us the background of why the person wrote this song and lets us know that this is how we fight. And this is what we're surrounded in. We're surrounded in the finished work of Jesus Christ. We're surrounded in what the blood of Jesus Christ has secured on our behalf. We are surrounded in. It says that everything that was against us, it was said it was nailed to the cross, and his blood has covered it. And there are some of us here even today that there's a promise that God wants to reveal to you. And he wants you to grab hold of the promise by faith, but he wants you to begin with thanksgiving. He wants you to allow worship to come out of you. Before I could even sit at my desk this morning, before I could even enjoy a cup of coffee this morning, I said, Lord, it's even difficult for me to make a cup of coffee, but I choose to worship you right now. I choose to bow my knee before you right now. I choose by faith, Lord God, and have an expectation. There's something you're going to show me of yourself. There's something you're going to teach me of yourself. There's something of a truth that you're going to lead me in. But by faith, Lord God, as the scripture says, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. That if we would willingly, in a moment when we are the most unlikely to do it, to bow our knee and acknowledge the one who has secured our release. And his name is Jesus, and he's Lord over all of it. Amen. So, Father God, I do thank you for this time right now, and we do give thanks to you, Lord, because we know that you are good. And we do know, Lord God, that your mercy continues forever, and that means right here, right now, it begins. This is the day that you have made, as it says in Psalm 118. This is the day referring to the cross, Lord God, referring to that new covenant time. This is the day that the Lord has made. As the result of Jesus, as a result of his cross, as a result of his spilling of his blood and of his death and burial and third day resurrection, this is the day that you have made. And as a result, Lord God, of that day, this day, we can rejoice right now in what you have done on our behalf. Make it fresh. Make it new, Jesus. Show every one of us here that which you want us to grab hold of, and then let us continue therein in thanksgiving and in praise and in worship that you are so due, Lord God. And we love to do it, Lord. So I thank you for this season of thanksgiving that can lead us to a lifestyle of giving thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. So the words are going to come up to the first part of the song, and the second two songs of Surround won't have words. And the third song is, I want to end up this morning with, Is he worthy? And I think that would be a great way for us to allow him to surround us and then answer back to him, you are worthy, Lord. You are worthy. And I live to your worth. I choose to worship you, to give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
says, for the spirit of heaviness, put on the garment of praise. And that's how we fight our battles. Yeah. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. What we're doing tonight. This is how I fight my battles. Just when you think you're lost. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Hey.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight.
Do you feel the shadows deepen?
Do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? Do you wish that you could see it all made new? It's all creation groaning. A new creation coming. Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? Is it good that we remind ourselves of this?
He is David's root and the Lamb who died.
Thank you for listening. This concludes another message from the Christian Service Center. May your life be blessed as you walk with Jesus as Lord. Blessings to all. Bye-bye.